So this is the January 7th recording for the Parent Success System Wednesday 11 a.m. Eastern Time call. This is Elaine, and I'm a little late turning on, so we've missed all the taking aim on the call, but we're going to go into the content and to some coaching around it. And my apologies for forgetting to turn on the recording sooner for those of you who are listening in. But what I'll recap for everybody is that we're looking at taking aim both on the big level and on the micro level, because it's the beginning of January, so we want to sort of look at the big picture of the year. Several people are looking at these issues of social skills and social connection, so how kids are behaving and appropriate or inappropriate behavior to improve social dynamics with their peers. And then the other big issue that's come up is how do we begin to transfer responsibility from us to our kids and beginning to hand the baton over. And the analogy that I shared earlier that I'll share again is that when we're in a race and we're passing a baton over in a relay, we only pass one baton at a time. And as parents, we need to be careful not to be throwing a ton of batons at our kids and expecting them to handle them all at once, but to make sure that we're handing them one thing at a time for them to manage so that they can really receive it, let us know they've got it, have some success with it before they move on to the next one. So for those of you on the call, did I encapsulate that well enough? Is there any other thing you think we should mention that we've been talking about?
No, I think you got it.
Okay. So today we're going to talk about curiosity, and which is a great topic, actually, for everything we've been talking about so far and that we're going to focus on. When Diane and I first started Impact ADHD, we sat down and started talking about what are the coaching skills that we think parents really need to learn, what will really aid and support parents in the process. And one of the first ones we selected, I think maybe one of the first second video tips we ever did, was curiosity. Because, you know, we've talked a lot in the last several calls about reducing the stress cycle by changing our perspective, about how to avoid triggers by shifting how we look at things, and how we change things influences outcomes, right? Is all this sounding familiar?
Yes.
Okay. So curiosity is a strategy for changing your perspective. I'm going to say it again. Curiosity is a strategy. It's a tactic that you can use, and you can ultimately teach your kids to use, but you can use to change your perspective on something. So when you are frustrated or annoyed or angry or like disbelieving how your kid's responding, right? What are some of the ways you typically respond when your kid does something that just, like, you just can't, something really impulsive? Or so Cheryl, for an example, I cannot believe she said that, right? Doesn't matter what it is. I can't believe she said that. What are the responses you guys typically have? And hi, Julia, welcome.
Sometimes I'll say, what are you thinking? Like, did you even think about what you just said or what you just did?
Okay, so one response is, what are you thinking? And can you hear the judgment in that tone, in that question?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Right.
Every time I say it, then I want to pull it back. It's like, you know, I was impulsive by saying that.
Right, exactly. What on earth are you thinking? Right, so there's judgment, there's like incredulous, just disbelieving. What else, what are other responses that you guys get?
I'll say don't.
Well, I'm embarrassed.
Cheryl first, and then Christina.
Yeah, I'll. In the past, I've actually said to her, "Don't say that out loud."
Okay, so it's not even what are you thinking, but don't say that. It's like an immediate correction, right?
Right.
Don't do that. And the message she gets from that is what?
Well, it makes her want to say it again, I think.
Does it?
Yes.
Okay. So that's the rebellious sort of pushback. What do you think she's hearing when she hears you say "Don't say that"? What is she? What's the message she's getting? The subtext is
like, you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong. Okay. What What about you, Christina?
Well, I mean, if we're in public, it would be embarrassment for me,
right,
and he would see that, yeah. Or maybe not.
What's the message you're saying to yourself when you're embarrassed?
Well, I guess I just want to hide or something.
Because, and the message you're saying to yourself is it, I'm not good enough, I'm not a good parent, I can't believe they think, what is it?
Yeah, I've said to him sometimes, you know, people are going to think mommy's not teaching you the right things to say, you know.
So people are going to think I'm bad, right?
Yeah.
Not you're bad, it's I'm bad.
Yeah.
People are going to think I'm bad, right?
Right.
Any other responses to, I can't believe she said that? Lisa?
Hey, I'm on mute. Yeah, I mean, I would say things like, you know, why did you say that? Or what are you thinking? Or, but I know that sounds so judging, like you need to be fixed.
Right. You need to be fixed. Love that. So what,
or like,
you
you're not good enough, you're not measuring up.
Exactly. And the piece here that's really important to remember is that these kids are impulsive, so they're not really thinking. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
that, right.
They probably can be as surprised as you are that people are surprised by what they said. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So because they didn't think it through and go, oh, I think I'm going to say this now, right? They blurted something out or they burped or whatever it was, and then like, oh, did I say that out loud? Right?
Yeah.
So part of what happens when they do things that surprise us or anger us or embarrass us is that we react, because as you just said so beautifully, Christina, because it's about us, right? What we're thinking about is how we look to other people. So curiosity is about shifting the focus from us to them, right? Instead of, I can't believe, what on earth made her say that? It becomes, huh, I wonder what made her say that. Like when you shift it from frustration or reaction to that authentic curiosity of, wow, wonder what prompted that? What was she thinking about? What was going on with her? Did she have a bad day? I wonder, you know, what else she was thinking about that has absolutely nothing to do with where we are now. Right? Has that ever happened? They say something that's so out of the blue that you're like, what?
Oh, absolutely. That happens with me all the time at my son's bedtime. I'm like,
right, of course.
Because
his brain is going a mile a minute, right?
Yes.
And so he's saying something that's like, that he's thinking about, and you have no idea, no context, no nothing, right?
Right.
So curiosity is about shifting how we see these behaviors from how it's impacting us to what must be motivating it, what might be going on. And what it does a couple of things. One is it takes away that tendency to judge and criticize and make them feel wrong, which we all know we don't want to do, even though we sometimes do, and that's just human, right? But when you get curious, it can help prevent you from sounding judgy, because you can say the same thing with a different tone and be curious, right? So what were you thinking sounds judgy. Or what were you thinking has a totally different tone to it, right? And what's the energy around that?
Kind of more like a question, like you're curious about what they were thinking to be able to say that.
Yeah, and a little more playful, right? So when we shift from that judgment place to getting into their head, to really wondering curiously, what are they thinking? And asking from that place, you're going to get a whole different answer. And it helps you to begin to understand them and to begin to help them understand themselves. And all of you today are talking about different ways that you want to begin to help your kids to be more conscious about self-management, whether it's social or taking on responsibilities. It's all about being intentional or conscious about what they're responsible for and how they're showing up to other people, right? Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Curiosity can actually help us raise their awareness to themselves without feeling judged. So I want to open it up for conversation. What's coming up? Does it make sense? Does it not? Any questions, thoughts?
I wanted to share something. This is Cheryl real quick. What I've had to learn with my daughter is the way she says things comes out sounding really kind of different than what she means. So I feel like I've needed to be an interpreter, because we were at the San Diego Zoo and the panda exhibit with the people that work there, and we were talking about how they were becoming extinct. Their habitat was, they were losing their habitat. And my daughter says, "I hate the Chinese people," and of course that's so politically incorrect, right? But what she meant, I knew that wasn't really what she meant. Because even my husband jumped on her. The guide was, like, offended. And I said, no, she said, because they are not taking care of the panda's habitat, the Chinese people. That's all she meant, was she was sort of mad at them because she loves the panda. And she, it's not that she hates Chinese people,
So I love that. What a great example. So when you get curious about where she's coming from, it shifts your ability to respond, right?
Yes.
Completely.
Luckily, I knew that wasn't really what she meant.
So if you hadn't known that and she had said that, how could curiosity, and anybody can jump in here, what might you have said instead of saying, "That's not what she means," which I think is a fine response? How could curiosity as a parent help you with that situation?
You could say, "Tell me what you mean by that."
Right. So you're not assuming she meant anything wrong, but tell me what you mean. Or that's an interesting thing to say. What makes you think that, right? So sometimes you want to start by affirming the comment in the first place. Does that resonate with people? That's an interesting thought. What makes you think that, or what makes you say that?
One thing I want to say, though, I think part of the issue is when those incidents happen, sometimes you feel like you don't have enough time. Like, to me, it makes sense to say that, but then you're standing there in front of the person at the zoo, and they're looking at your child crazy, and they're looking at you crazy, and then you got to figure out how to have this conversation so your daughter can really say what she meant, and you're just, like, mortified. So what do you do in that instant?
Okay, so when you're mortified, who are you thinking about?
Yourself.
Me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is about getting over there into their shoes, their eyes, right? And it's a challenging skill. Don't get me wrong, because it's when we teach listening skills, it's the same idea. It's getting out of my head about how I feel and how I'm triggered, and getting over there to get really deeply curious about, wow, what's going on with her? What's she thinking about? Is she hungry? Is she tired? Is she offended or hurt by something? But it's really like pulling out that classic mama bear, right? Mama bear doesn't give a hoot what any other animal thinks about her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
All she wants is to protect that child.
Right.
That cub.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
So the strategy is actually, as soon as you notice, oh, they like that you're thinking about you, it's to get back over there. So when we teach it in terms of levels of listening, there are three levels of listening. Level one is, what's going on with me? I'm talking to you guys, and I'm wondering, is everybody there? Are you hearing me? Are you understanding? Are people tuning out? So I'm talking to you, but there's a level one that's going on. Am I talking clearly? Am I making myself my point clearly, right? That's level one. That's I'm thinking about my experience, right? Level two is going over there to what your experience is. So it's not about me anymore. It's about, I want to make sure I'm really present with you. Are you hearing it? Are you understanding? Are you resonating with what we're talking about? Are you able to make a connection? So it's all about you. And really good listening skills come when you're able to let go of, not think about the level one, and only think about how it's landing over there with the other person. And then level three is a larger issue, sort of what's happening in the dynamic. So in that scenario, it's a great example, Cheryl. So level one is you thinking, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe she said that, right? Or your husband's reaction all over, mm-hmm. right? Level two was you knowing and beginning to say, what she's really concerned about the pandas. Right. Level three is the other people in the group and the docent who are all looking at you like, what is going on? And that energy of what's wrong with this kid, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you can stay in that level two place and really be with her, it's really looking through her lens, through her eyes, then you can redirect the conversation back. So, you really care about those pandas, don't you, Jenna? I know you don't really hate the Chinese people, but it's really sad that it feels like they're not taking care of the pandas' habitat, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you can affirm what she says, because you've gotten curious and you actually almost skip curiosity because you know what she was thinking. So the step before it, if you didn't know, as we said, was to ask, wow, that's a really strong statement. What's going on? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I don't want to over-talk it. So, but is this landing for people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
In a way, I mean, the parents are being impulsive by saying, what are you thinking? Like, in a way, by responding that way, we're just as impulsive as they are.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was my aha moment, actually, when I said it earlier today. I was like, whoa, that was me being impulsive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's great. So let's come up with another scenario. What's another example? Choose a real one. What's happened where you're now looking at it and going, oh, curiosity could have really helped? What about when a kid has a meltdown?
Yeah, like I was just thinking, this is Juliet, like my daughter and who's eight, my four-year-old son, I mean, that's just a constant source of stress to her, is her little brother. I mean, it's just constant, it's incessant. And it makes me stressed.
Right.
So he'll, like, take her toy, and she'll have a meltdown because she wanted that. And she starts crying because she's so upset. And then I respond, like, you didn't care about that toy. You didn't want it until he wanted it, you know, and I'm trying to fix it. And
okay, so the scenario is your four-year-old's taken your eight-year-old's toy, and she starts to have a fit.
Yes.
Okay, so how would you bring curiosity to that scenario?
Oh, that's such a good question, because I'm not. First say, it really stinks you have a little brother that's taking your things, right? Well, tell me, what about that toy? What about it now? I want to say, why do you want that now is what I want to say, but why is that important to you? Why is that toy important to you now?
Okay. So just a general rule of thumb, parents, eliminate the word why.
Yeah, I'm trying not to use why. I can realize.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, try not to use the word why. They don't know. They can ask it all day long, but try not to ask them why. But so you're getting there to start with the, well, it's really
validation.
Somebody takes your tour, the validation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Get curious. What do you think's going on? Is it really about the toy?
Right, no.
What's it really about?
It's about control.
Okay.
A lack of control.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's about control.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elaine, I have a question in this scenario, because here's my disconnect. I'm thinking, as a mom when I'm being curious, that's circumventing my right. So, like in that case, I feel like what she should do is just say that's not right for her to be that way with her brother, and that's it. And but then when you're asking the question, it's almost like that mom you're seeing in the store where the kid controls her. Like I'm having a hard time.
Okay.
Wavering and understanding where how this leads to your child still knowing the right thing to do.
Okay, great. Great question. So, is it a reasonable expectation that an 8-year-old girl with ADD is going to get upset if a 4-year-old steals her toy?
I mean,
yes.
Okay. It is a reasonable expectation. I would say it is. Until you've taught her not how to manage it, she doesn't know how to handle the situation, right?
Uh-huh.
So when you're curious about what's going on, she's upset, she's feeling a loss of control, she's constantly got this loss of control because there's this four-year-old around always doing something to make her agitated, because that's what four-year-old little brothers do. She doesn't know how to manage her emotions. She may be tired or angry or hurt or, you know, what else. So that's what's going on with her. That's her reality. When you can get into her reality, then you can begin to help her learn how to manage it. But if you come from, well, you shouldn't react that way, what's she learning?
Mm-hmm.
What's she going to get?
Every time she gets
tell her what to do.
Every time she...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say she's learning every time she gets upset, she gets yelled at or she gets bad feelings from me.
Right. And it's actually a legitimate feeling that she's got. Right? She's got a legitimate complaint. How she's handling it may not be great, and you want to begin to teach her how to handle it differently. But if you get curious, you can see she's got a reason to be upset. And she doesn't really know how to handle it yet. And that you can help her with. Does that address it, Chiquita? Do you see the difference? It's not that you're condoning the behavior. But over time, our goal is to teach our kids emotional self-management.
Mm-hmm.
No, I get it. I get it. I guess what I was thinking before was, again, about me. It's about making sure, you know, I'm making sure that my child knows what I expect, but I need to flip it from their paradigm to help them learn and understand why it's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm. And it may not be that they can, it may be that they can't understand it in that moment. But in that moment, you may need to be present with the kid, get curious, wow, what's going on, and then later have a conversation that says, you know, when he takes your toy, I'd love to help you learn how to manage it because you don't want to be melting down every time. You know, you're 8 years old, he's only 4. How can I help you with that? But when they're triggered, that's no time to be trying to teach them anything.
Right. You're right.
Right? Because they can't learn it.
Yeah. No, and then that just accelerates the situation because now
exactly.
The parent and the child are, you know, both at odds.
Right. So curiosity lets you, it connects you to compassion. Right? It helps you be more compassionate for their situation instead of worrying about what it should be and what other people think and what the expectations are big picture. And, you know, it's like it just lets you be present with that person in that moment to say, wow, that's a bummer. Or, wow, that's great. You know, it could be that your kid's bouncing off the walls and as you start getting curious, it's like, this good thing happened, that good thing happened, and wow, he's so excited he didn't know what to do with himself, right? My son came in yesterday from school, and it was similar to your story, Cheryl. He started telling me how terrible the North Koreans are. And he had been learning it at school. They learn all this stuff that they're concentrating. I mean, and I realized he just needed to get it out. I kid you guys not, I probably sat for 10 minutes and just said, really? Oh, wow, And he told me everything he learned on this whatever documentary about the North Koreans and the concentration camps. And I've never, ever heard him so engaged with anything he's ever learned at school.
Wow.
And I didn't say a word. I just let him, I just got curious about, wow, he really, something is, there's something unjust about this that's really triggering him. So I wasn't trying to get him to not be mad or upset or to not say rude things about Kim Munjo or whatever his name is. And because, you know, I just sat there and I got really curious, like, wow, something he cares about. 13-year-old boy doesn't care about a lot of stuff, so it was really pretty cool, right? And it just let me be present to him and just be with his – he was indignant and he was mad and he was upset, and it was about something happening in the world outside of him. And so I just got to be there with him and be compassionate for it and listen to it, and there was really nothing for me to do.
Go ahead.
And then I brought it up again later at dinner so that he could share it again with his dad. Right? Because what I was curious about was what was it that was so that was upsetting him so much? Because I knew that that meant that there was something he cared about. And that's what I was trying to get a hold of, because we always want to figure out what do they really care about, what's important to them. And he really has this thing about justice that I had no idea, you know.
Wow.
He didn't want people to be treated that way. That was pretty cool.
That is cool.
But I could have shut it down when he started saying rude things about the North Koreans, because it was politically incorrect. Right? So somebody was going to ask something or say something.
Yeah, this is Julia. So back to the toy example then. I mean, after I validate, can you help me come up with a how to be curious about that? I guess I'm having – I still haven't figured out what I could say.
Well, so,
or how I could
so
respond.
Sometimes the curiosity isn't in the moment. Sometimes the curiosity is, I wonder what's going on with her. And so we sort of like, what's going on with her? She's out of control. This kid's around all the time. He's a pesky little brother because that's his job, and so if you begin, if you know the dynamic around it, sometimes curiosity may not happen in the moment. It may be, wow, I wonder what happened that triggered her so much. So, and then you can come back later and have the conversation. Was it really about the toy, or are you just sort of tired of him, you know, taking your toys, or was there something else going on? Or curiosity is not about, not just about what you say in that moment, but about looking at the different dynamics and circumstances that are sort of driving you crazy and beginning to try to see what else is happening there that may be influencing the circumstance that you don't, that you're not aware of on the surface. You know, so sometimes it's the simple stuff. It's like they're hangry, right? They're hungry, they're angry, they're tired. You know, or maybe they're just having a bad day. But sometimes, you know, they'll get upset about one thing, and when you start getting curious and asking questions or thinking about it, you'll discover it's got nothing to do with that at all. Right? It's got to do with how somebody spoke to them on the playground. Or this one teacher keeps making me feel like I'm stupid. Or, you know, and it may have nothing to do with what I've got. One of my daughters has this trigger around the word stupid, right? She doesn't like, because she had enough years. She's my oldest and the one that got the least benefit of all of this coaching stuff. And she had enough years of feeling made to feel stupid in school that she had a really low threshold for any teacher that didn't, that made her feel that way. I mean, she, like, it was an instant. She could turn off a teacher or be turned off by a teacher in a second. And, you know, and knowing that about her helped me help her learn to manage teachers who weren't as understanding as others, right? So I think it's a vehicle for connecting to compassion, but it's also, it's a lot about helping, understanding what's going on helps them begin to see their context as well. And it's our job to show them, I know you were upset about that toy, and it's really, it's not that toy. It's, sometimes it's frustrating when someone keeps taking things from you because you really care about your stuff, right? That's an awareness that will help her learn to manage it over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that it's the skill to manage it in the moment always. Although, I wonder, does, I mean, what comes up for anybody else? How else would you handle that situation when a four-year-old takes his eight-year-old sister's toy? What else is coming up? The question that comes up for me is, does the four-year-old get to keep the toy?
Well, I think there's probably an opportunity, too, to just help the four-year-old understand that, you know, his sister should share, but if his sister doesn't want him to have the toy, then there are other things he can play with, too.
Yeah, right. Sometimes people share, sometimes they don't share. Right? Sometimes people aren't in the mood to share. So there is, that's another place to get curious is it fair? Is he always getting to take the toy and is she constantly having to be the one to compromise? I don't know. I mean, but that's a place to get curious. Does she have a legitimate grievance?
Yeah.
I have, oh, sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. When this has happened to me with my son, in the play date, for example, sometimes I'll just tell his friends, my son isn't ready right now to share, but in a little while he might be. Can you give him, you know, can you give him some time? Just sometimes that really is all that's needed, is just he's just not ready in this moment.
It's not making him wrong for now, and it's giving the possibility for the future.
And then I'm not scolding my son in front of another kid, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on mute just because I'm in a very noisy place.
Okay, thanks. Well, and we're about at time, so Julie, I want to resolve that. I want to make sure that you're feeling comfortable before we do the final four questions, but anything else coming up for you or any other questions?
Yeah, no, I think so. I think that my main takeaway is just to validate her feelings and then have a conversation at a different time about it is probably what I need to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan. The other thing I would, and I would just sort of look at it a little bit is, you know, there's something else is happening if she's getting that triggered. She's upset about something else. And it may
right,
be
like she's
feeling,
already stressed.
Right. Or it may be a feeling that it's always not fair to her.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's another place to get curious and look. Is it possible that you could be overcompensating in favor of the four-year-old and not be fair? And I'm not saying you are. But, you know, kids have a really strong sense of fair and not fair.
Right. Right. Well, I think I probably am because I'm so annoyed that she's like, you know, she never touches, that she's like suddenly needs it, you know, and I'm like, you haven't played with that in a year, you know, and so I'm getting really annoyed. So it probably, there's probably some truth to that statement.
Great. All right. So that's what we mean by getting curious.
Yeah.
What else is happening in this dynamic? So, and you brought in a great piece, which is this, not just between what's happening with them. Your approach, your response is part of dynamic.
Right.
You're gonna, if you get annoyed, that's going to contribute to what's going on too.
Right.
So you can even get curious about your, wow, why am I getting so upset about this?
Yeah.
Why am I making this such a big deal? Right? What's going on with me
mm-hmm.
is another place for us to look. So thank you for
mm-hmm.
sharing that, because I didn't bring that up earlier, but I think it's a really important part. So with that, to close it out today, based on sort of the various things that you were looking at, what did you focus on today, and what's your taking away from today? And what do you want to commit to? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Hey, well, this is Julia. I'll go because I have another call I have to jump on. Thank you so much. This has been really helpful. And for me, it's mostly that, like just recognizing why am I responding this way when this happens, attaching it to knowing that there's probably some other stress going on. It's not really about the real situation that I think it is on the surface, and to kind of have a conversation with her outside of the drama to talk it through before it happens.
Right, and I think you've just encapsulated the whole thing about curiosity. It's never just what it is on the surface.
Yeah.
So get curious about what else is going on.
Yeah.
Love that.
Thank you.
That was great. All right, have a great week, great couple of weeks. Who else wants to share your aha or your commitment?
Hi, this is Chiquita. I think the aha was, you know, kind of shifting my paradigm and making it not so much about me and how I'm feeling in that moment, to, you know, what's going on with my son, and asking the question to get to why he's saying and doing the things that he's doing, and kind of in some cases circling back maybe at a later time to talk through, you know, what was his thought process when he did that and why, and how can we possibly do it another way in the future.
Yep. Beautiful. Great. And the other place to the original conversation about targeting more and more responsibility is to get curious about, for you in particular, get curious about what he feels like he's ready to take responsibility for.
Okay, got it. And asking those questions to him, okay.
Yep, get him in part of that process.
Got it.
Great. Who else? Cheryl or Christina?
I'm Cheryl. I think I got clear about, I didn't really have any resolutions or some goals for her for this year. So crucial is that's a clarity for me, and then I need to narrow it down and work on one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And I could actually get curious about that, too.
Say again?
I could actually get curious about that, too, and kind of ask her,
beautiful.
You know, yeah. Like, well, how do you feel, or what's going on when you say this, and how do you, you know, and other people react, or I don't know. I could try to have a conversation with her about that.
Yep, absolutely. And you may also get curious about what does she want to begin to work on? What is she, right? Because you know Jenna's only going to do what she wants to do anyway.
Yeah.
So find
That's
out
true.
What's important to her that she would like to see improved, and help her work on what, because she's getting old enough now to begin to be participating in that conversation with you.
Yeah. Well, I've always done goals with my kids every year, though, since they were little.
Yeah.
So.
And Lisa,
yeah, she can.
What
Go
about
ahead.
You? No, it's okay.
yes, this is Lisa. The same thing is to involve Kate more in the discussion about you know, why the girls aren't playing with her, to get curious more about that, and to, like you said, to work on one thing at a time, to try to help improve that situation for her.
Great. So here's what I would add for you is that she's only 6, so be cautious. She's 6 going on 3, right?
Yeah, right.
In many ways. And
in some ways, 6 going on 16.
Right, exactly. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
But just think in terms of not asking her, why do you think? Because the word why really triggers kids. So what do you think's going on?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's happening? Just shifting that language a little bit will get you a lot more.
Okay.
Okay.
Can I say something to Lisa real quick?
Yeah.
My daughter did that big bear hug, slamming into people, all the, you know, and hugging them too hard. Oh, that used to drive me nuts. She did that for a long time, but she really doesn't do it much anymore, hardly at all.
There's hope ahead, yeah.
Yes, yes. I think she'll outgrow that.
Great.
All right, everyone. I hope you have a great couple of weeks. We got some fun stuff coming up this month, and I don't know if y'all saw the email. We're switching our Q&A calls from Minimize Meltdowns and Homework Headaches to include everybody, including PSS members. So I think the call is, there's an open, we're calling it a parenting lifeline call, and so that's next week. So if anybody has questions or things you want to address, know that that's available to you there. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Thank you very much, Wayne.
Pleasure. Bye.